It takes a slight change of direction. What has the relationship been like with the RFU since you've been here?
Fine. Neither good nor bad, really. The RFU, I mean, they are a stakeholder of ours, but a key stakeholder. I mean, we deal more obviously with Premiership Rugby. The RFU has been in a slight state of transition, I think, over the years. So, you know, they're incumbent to the grassroots game. We get that. You know, we've actually moved in the GRFU community team into King's Home to show our olive branch of trying to work together, and that's worked really well. My dealings with the RFU are generally either due to.
Sorry, is that group just for Gloucestershire?
Correct. Yeah. So my dealings with the RFU are generally either misdemeanours. So, you know, I've had one or two. You know, we had a game here against Bath, for example, where I think we ended up with, I don't know, 11, and they ended up with about 12 or 13 players, and it was a busy week afterwards. So we get quite a lot of that type of thing. Or, you know, a year or so ago when I was over in Jersey, and we had that situation with Danny Cipriani. Obviously had to deal very closely and strongly with them, and you know, I was very forthright whether I thought they were supportive or not of us as a club at the time. I also chair the officials panel, the match day officials panel as well. So on that panel, although Dean Ryan's just recently left, was Dean Ryan, Nigel Melville, Tony Spreadbury and those guys. So we have a good relationship with the RFU. And the RFU have had their own battles. You know, they've had some financial issues. They've had a lot of changes of management. They've been ploughing a lot of money into artificial pitches, which now they've stopped. Absolutely fine. So we don't deal with them all the time. We have a commercial agreement with them around players, around English players, EQP and elite playing squad players as well. And I've personally always had a good relationship with whoever's led the organisation, Ian Ritchie, Steve, decent guys.
Yeah. How much interaction is there with the referees who obviously are organised from Twickenham?
Yeah, I have quite a lot because of the role that I've been performing there. But generally, they probably speak to David once a week, usually after a match. So if we've had Barnsley here or JP or somebody like that and we've agreed or disagreed with something, we'll probably phone them up quite often before a game as well. That week we might have a conversation with them, as all clubs will, and we might just, you know, remind them that you know, when we play Northampton they tend to like to burrow in a little bit on the scrum, or you know, to watch out for, you know, one or two things, and they'll do the same about us, you know, a particular move that they like to run which we might think is illegal, or we might think they're a bit quick off the line from an offside perspective. Referees, bless them, have to listen to that. They probably have to filter out what it is. They're not stupid, they get it themselves. They don't need us to tell them. So we probably speak to referees once or twice a week, and you know, they're good guys. They've got the hardest job to do on that pitch, and none of them are cheat, none of them try to give one team more than the other. It's difficult for them, and I think we've got the best referees in the world in England, actually. And they're coming for a lot of stick, but pound for pound I think we've got the best in the world.
Yeah, well, it's a bit hard for them, really, isn't it? Because if a referee makes an error, you know, it gets highlighted.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, the other 30 people on the pitch are all making errors.
Making mistakes every 2 minutes.
It doesn't get highlighted in the same way.
And it's what a game to referee. Yeah. People flying off their feet. And then it gets more difficult when you go into a European game where it can be a bit lawless at times. And, you know, we like to play a game where it's refereed. So when Wayne Barnes plays, we usually win. Really, we usually win. So I'll tell you something now. We played Bristol away this year. I'm going to sound like I'm bitter, and I am a little bit. We lost a game fair and square, but I think it was Carl Dixon who was refereeing. But anyway, whoever it was, allowed a lot of shenanigans at the breakdown area. Therefore, we got very slow ball. And there was the week after, we played away at Harlequins and we had Wayne Barnes referee. And in the first minute, he told Rob Shaw and somebody else to get their hands off the ball and also were going to the bin. Therefore, we had a quick ball and we absolutely took them to the cleaners. You know, and so I think it's a really, really difficult job for the referees to do. And all we want is consistency. You know, always consistency.
Yeah. And how does Premiership Rugby Limited work?
Well, it's run by the clubs, really. So they have a new chief exec that's coming in, a fellow called Darren Childs, who's coming in soon in September. There are board meetings, there's an executive committee that's set up. And, you know, Premiership Rugby set up as a commercial arm there to do all the deals with the media rights, the TV companies, the RFU, and then those distributions are then shared out between the clubs. And there's a rugby committee there as well, headed up by Phil Winstanley. And that looks at laws of the game around world rugby, concussion, artificial pitches, player insurance, and all of those things. And we have a vote. 13 clubs with P shares. We have one of the votes, and we vote for things. So it's a fairly it works like that.
And how often do all the clubs get together to make those?
It's usually around every 6 to 8 weeks together. But no, we often via email as well. I mean, I've been making a decision on England player insurance in the last day. That was by email.
Is it you who is normally representing
clubs? Martin. Right. So they had a change of board structure. It's mainly the owners who are on the board now. It used to be the chief execs. Now it's the owners. But as long as the communication comes down to the chief execs, that's fine.
How do you see the balance working between Gloucester Rugby as a business, as a club, as part of the community? I might even throw heritage into that.
Well, a lot of it's driven by whoever the owner is, to be quite frank with you, because the owner and the chief exec set the strategy for that organisation. So there are a number of clubs at the moment that have just been in receipt of some CVC money, have taken the money, done what they've done with it, and are on a programme now to break even. If you're going to break even as a club, that's going to have consequences, clearly, but that's absolutely their right to do that. Now, there'll be owners out there saying, I don't want to keep losing 5, 6, 7, 8, 2, 4 million pounds a year. Actually, how are we going to stop that? You're not going to get that change of financial behaviour by driving more revenues, because it's a fairly small sport, actually. I mean, it's not like Manchester United could just pick on, I don't know, go to Thailand and sell half a million shirts. It just doesn't happen. So you've got to look at costs. So I think it depends on who the owner is. I think if things stay as they are, we'll continue to be one of the better run clubs with regards to our financial performance, although probably make a slight loss. I think that we will continue. So we'll make some changes around the community area. So we're going to be setting up a new foundation, which is going to give us a lot more leverage to work with more people in the Gloucestershire area from a community perspective. We have, as you know, a fully functioning former players society led by Fred Reed at the moment. But we also have another, I guess, committee where, you know, Fred and those guys are all from the amateur era, but there's quite a big gap to the professional era, really. But, you know, we're going to be having a dinner quite shortly with the likes of Sinbad and Mike Tyndall and James Forrester and Jim Hamilton and Nick Wood and Brownie and Terry Fanalua, Tinas and those guys, trying to create more of a feeling of, look, you know, I know you guys are professional and you're earning money now, and I said, but don't be strangers. Andy Hazel, these guys, Bucko, just get yourself back to the club more. Get yourself involved a little bit more. We'd love to see you here more, you know. So don't think the balance will change dramatically. You know, what we're not going to do is rack up millions and millions and millions of pounds of more debt. We pay to the full salary cap. We've got two marquee players, so you can't do much more there anyway from a physically playing department perspective. There'll always be things around the edges. I think what you'll probably see for Gloucester going forward is, I think there'll be more projects around sustainability, something that I'm very passionate about, and if I was remaining here, I was going to be leading, is a sustainability project, you know, around single-use plastic, around how we can be sustainable as people, and how we can make our match day and our partners more sustainable. So the ideal scenario for me is that at a point in time, Gloucester Rugby only works with partners who share our same vision. We can't do that overnight because there's a commercial impact on that. But I'd like to think that our supporters would get behind that, because why wouldn't we? You know. So yeah, I don't think there'll be a huge change. I mean, I don't know who the new chief executive is going to be and what their take on life is going to be. But you know, we're very keen on continuing the journey from a performance perspective. You know, we came third last year on merit. I think we could at least do that again this year without going into, you know, I think we'll get off to a good start because we'll be missing very few international players. There's no reason why we shouldn't try to attain a home semi-final next year. Saracens and Exeter will have a lot to say about that. We get it. But at the same time, why not? you know. So I don't think there's going to be a huge change of direction. Performance and commercial will go hand in hand still. But I think there will be some developments in rugby over the next few years with regards to, I think there'll be a bigger call on things like people talking about this British and Irish League at the moment. Now, there are no foundations set in place for doing that, but I can see that the commercial realities of that at some stage could make it become a conversation. I can see that we'll go to 13 clubs and potentially have a moratorium on relegation. So I think there will be some changes. Those changes in themselves could drive behaviours changes. So pick a club, I don't know, Worcester, Sale, whoever. If relegation is off the table, you may see those clubs, Newcastle, whoever, say, actually, why are we paying, you know, £10 million in our playing department if we can't get relegated anyway? Do we then have a five-year plan around young English players? Because it gives us the opportunity to do it in a less pressured environment because you're not getting relegated. That I can't answer. I'm not Nostradamus, but I'm pretty sure that those decisions by default, the fact that clubs are losing money, when the risk of relegation goes away, they will change their models, I expect.
Can we talk for a few minutes about sponsorship? How important is sponsorship in terms of the health of the
it's very important.
Club, and how easy is it to find sponsors for Gloucester Rugby?
Very important and not easy are the two answers. We've been very fortunate again. When I came in, my first remit, the first thing was, we haven't got... So Jewson had been here for a million years, and I got told, they're not here anymore, go and find a new partner. And literally, go and find a new partner, nothing about the club. We ended up working with a company called AD, a Cheltenham-based business, and a fantastic guy, Hamish, who was the kind of marketing director there, massive Gloucester fan, who really helped me put that together. Hamish Mead, huge fan, travels home and away, Gloucester games, overseas, etc. That was only going to be a short-term thing. Mitsubishi were a current partner. I spoke to Lance Bradley at Mitsubishi, and when we were going out to tender, I said, look, we're quite interested. At the time, they were looking at getting into rugby in a bigger way. They were Scotland, they were doing stuff with England, etc. And outside of that, we've got some brilliant partners like Downton and Olbers and EDF and people like that over the years that have been fantastic for us. But the sporting market in general for pure partnerships and sponsorships is very, very difficult. It's getting harder. Things like stadium naming rights are almost non-existent now. Well, if they are there, they're very, very low level and wouldn't be worth us doing in the first place. So those partners and the likes of Green King and others and stuff that we're doing with the app, they're massively important to us to drive more revenue because it's getting tougher and tougher to just get those normal sponsorships. However, what is good about it is it's made us all look at it and say, we've got to deliver more for our partners. Gone are the days of a badging exercise where a company just says, well, slap the name on your shirt and give us a couple hundred thousand pounds. So now, what are we going to get back in return? What are you going to do with the players for us? What engagement are you going to do? How many direct mails are we going to get? How can you cost evaluate this for us, etc.? And that's absolutely right. It's absolutely right. Brexit's making people work and operate slightly differently as well. In certain areas, people are saying, look, it's not whether we stay in Europe or not. It's the inertia. It's this hiatus. We don't know what's coming around the corner. We don't know what the impact's going to be. We've got to put 10 pence on the pound of export costs or whatever it might be. So it is a difficult market. But the sponsorship is very important to us. Without it, we wouldn't function as a business, or we would, but we'd lose a lot more money. We do very well, actually. Probably pound for pound, we probably do better than anybody else in the Premiership in terms of what we bring in for commercial income. But I'd like to think we also deliver back for our partners as well.